WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. And y'all, it is the most stupendous show of the year, because we are doing our WrestleMania preview. That's right, WrestleMania is this Sunday, live from Dallas, Texas. It is a two-night affair, and we are going to talk all about it. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Saturday and Sunday.
I said tonight.
You first said this Sunday. It's Saturday and Sunday.
I'm sorry. I'm used to them being on Sunday.
I know. I know. And we'll be live Saturday.
We will be live. We'll be doing the Night 1 review on Saturday, so there will be no Fortnite with Friends.
Or CB Radio.
Or CB Radio, because we are probably going to have a lot to talk about.
Because it's the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. You can go to YouTube.com/RackRadioShow and see... simulations of all the matches at WrestleMania. There's a lot posting in the last few days. There's going to be a lot dropping like in the next 2 days, because there's... I've lost track. My voice will be fine.
You've been a little under the weather.
Because I just got it back.
It's fine.
It's back now. We'll lose it again by Monday night. But yeah. It's all good. It's all good. So yeah, let's get into WrestleMania. It's a two-night event, the biggest, the most stupendous of them all. But we have news before we get to that.
We do have news. We have a couple things that we have to talk about before we get to the show, because WWE dropped some things on us. But in the last week or so. I like how you're live updating the news as I'm getting ready to talk about it.
I know. But I wanted to put that thing in there because we talked about it earlier. I wanted to mention it.
So tomorrow night, I'm going to go in order. So tomorrow night, live after SmackDown at 10:30 on Fox?
No, Peacock.
Peacock, I'm sorry. On Peacock is the Hall of Fame in which The Undertaker is going to be your headliner. He's being inducted. But just as an update on that, Shad Gaspard has been announced for the Warrior Awards, so congratulations for him. A lot of people have wanted to see this happen, so it's good that they were able to make it happen.
God, the video they put out is just tugs at your heartstrings.
It rips your heart out. It's like,
good luck following that.
Good luck. Everybody's gonna be crying.
Yeah.
And then the Steiner brothers have also been announced for the Hall of Fame as well. So there's no word on if Scott will actually go or not.
Believe he should be there. They'll both be there. Undertaker's the headliner. You, Sharmell, Shad Gaspar, and Vader. So there's your Hall of Fame class of 2022.
Ding. So like I said, 10:30 live on Peacock. If you want to see the pre-show where they're setting up and you see all the fancy dresses and the arrivals and stuff like that, you can watch it 10 p.m. on Peacock. But the actual physical event starts at 10:30, and I'm not sure how long it's going to go. It's probably going to be like an hour and a half, I would guess.
That's what I heard.
Because it can't go much longer than that.
I mean, there's five. There's really five people, so.
Yeah. It's so we'll see.
And Undertaker takes 20 minutes to get to the ring anyhow, so it doesn't matter.
They might give him the bike for the induction. They give him a Harley to ride down just to, you know, Vince can ride down on the handlebars.
Hey.
Hey, speaking of The Undertaker really quickly, tonight at Fan Access, he got a statue. They, in the vein of Andre and Ric Flair and some of the other legends and greats of WWE, Undertaker was gifted his own statue, and he got to unveil it with a Hunter and Shawn and Kane and Rikishi and the Godwins and family.
Godwins and Godfather.
Godwins and Godfather. Yes, that was the one I was missing. Thank you. And it's like, I know there's another one. I'm just trying to remember. But yeah, so all of his friends and all of his family were there. Hunter and Shawn unveiled it. It's a lovely statue. And yeah, so congratulations to Taker. It's going outside Vince's office. I can feel it.
Oh, it should go outside his office.
It's going outside Vince's office. It can go in the little ante room. It can stare at the little dude that's in the little, like, what? I guess that's Vince's butler. Was that Vince's butler?
I don't know.
Like, I just had to, like, did anybody notice that? That, like, there's the outside secretary receptionist outside Vince's office, and then Seth goes in another room, and there's a dude sitting there.
Yeah.
And then they walk into Vince's office, so I guess that was Vince's butler?
That would be his assistant. I guess the receptionist was at that, you know, for the floor, I guess? I don't know.
I don't know. No, that's got to be his personal receptionist.
Who knows these days? Really, I mean...
Outside his office, that's Vince's personal receptionist. He's the CEO of the company. He chairman of the board. He whatever.
But he has many important people, all right?
He's the owner. He gets what he wants.
He gets what he wants. He gets 1,700 people, for all he knows.
Anyway, moving on from that, Brantley Gilbert and J.C. James Decker have been announced to sing America the Beautiful, which will lead off the event on Saturday and Sunday night. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, so Brantley does Saturday and Jesse's doing Sunday, if I remember correctly.
They'll be there.
Yeah, so one's going to do one, the other's going to do the other.
But with that, that takes care of the news items for the WrestleMania weekend, so let's not waste any time. Just to let everybody know, we're doing night one, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to do night two, okay? We're not going to, like, subject you to a full two-night event and not take a break, because we need water. At some point, we'll need water.
We're going to need to compose ourselves and get something to drink, yes.
Okay, so WrestleMania night one, is there any bumper for this?
No.
Okay, so where do you want to begin?
Let's start at the top and then work our way through.
Alrighty. So the Raw Women's Championship is on the line as Becky Lynch looks to take a cut out of Bianca Belair after Monday Night Raw's events where Bianca cut Becky's hair.
If Becky attempted to.
After Becky attempted to cut Bianca's braid off, this feud has been boiled up very nicely. It's peaking lovely, and this is going to be a fight. Also, Becky looked fierce with the hair.
Her new straight fire hair, yeah.
Yeah, her new do.
Yeah. You look at this match, and they've been building it, and it's been built since SummerSlam, and you know, everyone, the 26 seconds of, oh my god, did that actually happen? And, you know, forcing people to cancel their services and what have you. And Bianca's looked like a star since. Has she been champion? No, but not everyone can be the champion. Becky had to come back and look strong. Did you want Becky to come back and look weak? So, throughout the months, she's continued to look stronger and stronger, and as she has, as she's gone through all this competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her ego has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, to where now it's at a boiling point where she's at her most egotistic. So much so that she thought she could take away Bianca's braid.
She tried to Karen Bianca.
She did. Then Bianca Karened her.
You know, like you do.
And it's like, and meanwhile, Bianca has looked strong in the Rumble. She won the Elimination Chamber. She's come out and pretty much been the standard in the second tier of the women's division, while Becky's been defending against the likes of Doudrop and Liv Morgan, battling Charlotte Flair and Survivor Series, and even defended against Bianca in the past. Becky also defended against Lita on this road. And now that you have the two colliding, last year we made Bianca Belair after she beat Sasha Banks. So now we're going back to year. Now this is going to be the second time she gets a challenge for the title of WrestleMania, which we should just say is an accomplishment of itself, because there are only a select few who can continuously challenge for the same for a championship at WrestleMania, especially the top one in their division. And Bianca's now done it for 2 years in a row. Last year she won the Rumble, and now she's doing it by winning the Chamber. I watched Raw, man. Damn, Bianca looked really strong. Is Becky actually going to lose the belt, or is Becky keeping it?
I feel like with the way that they're setting Bianca up, this is kind of a make or break moment for Bianca. We all accepted it at SummerSlam because it's like Becky came back at SummerSlam. She challenged Bianca for the title. It doesn't make sense to have a returning Becky Lynch, who was your hottest star before she got pregnant and came back equally as hot in terms of popularity, to lose to Bianca. No offense to Bianca at all. But Bianca at that point was not on Becky's level. I would argue Bianca is still not on Becky's level, though she's a lot closer than she was in the summer. They booked her really, really well because Bianca got her shot at Becky. She tried to get her title back. It didn't work. Becky outsmarted her at every turn and was able to keep it. And eventually Bianca had to go to the back of the line. And they put other people in Becky's path while they kept Bianca kind of on the side, kept her, you know, right there. And then they started to heat her back up in the beginning of 2022. With Rumble, with Elimination Chamber, with all the things, to build her back up to this point to face Becky Lynch again. They're poised to do something with Bianca. If they don't, I feel like it would be a huge disappointment, and Becky kind of needs to get a little bit of comeuppance here.
Yeah, and that's why I said, the man goes, there's no reason for Becky to win. I never said she won it, I just would win. I'm just saying, they put some doubt. There's a little bit of a doubt in WWE logical booking. But Bianca got the heat going into the show. Does Becky take the heat? Does Becky regain her heat at WrestleMania? On the flip side of it all, Bianca's now getting into Becky's head. She's getting that mental edge. And now Becky, now losing her hair, can sort of snap a little. Becky, when losing the title, can go a little bit crazy and a little bit more desperate. And we see where that ego goes now. Now it's being deflated. She's no longer the champion. Bianca beat her at WrestleMania. Where does Becky go next? That's the interesting thing coming out of it. Do I believe Bianca's winning? Hell yeah. There is the little bit of doubt because they can go the other way. But I think, as we've been saying for months, this is the time, this is the place. And it'll be interesting to see where Becky's character goes following a loss, because she has not tasted real defeat, especially championship defeat, in 3 years.
I mean, like I said, they're poised to do something with Bianca. They're poised to have a moment for Bianca to kind of pay Bianca back for everything that she's done over the course of the last year, especially for SummerSlam, because she was a champion coming into SummerSlam. She took the loss, and they put her on the back burner, like I said. So you have the potential to make an absolutely huge statement with Bianca at WrestleMania, having her dethrone Becky Lynch after Becky was never pinned for her title. She gave it up. She came back. She won it back. So that could send a statement. And like you said, Bianca is in Becky's head. She's living there rent-free, because Bianca is the one person that can possibly take that title off of Becky.
Yep.
Like, Becky has narrowly escaped Bianca in the past, mm-hmm. and has had to cheat to get away from her. The one thing that I'm very surprised about that hasn't happened and I'm wondering if it's going to happen, is if there isn't going to be some kind of stipulation slapped on this. Not hair versus hair. Please God, no. But some kind of no DQ, something along those lines to prevent Becky from cheating. Because that is Becky's go-to, is I'm going to get myself disqualified. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to do something to ensure that I keep this title. Because once they get in the match, Becky's desperation, especially as Bianca begins to kind of take hold on Becky, is going to get worse. So it's either going to have to be something that Bianca just literally goes in there and just beats the shit out of Becky before she can figure a way to wriggle her way out of it, or a stip or something needs to go on this match to ensure that Becky can't get away.
I don't think we're getting a stip. I think if we get a stip, it's the next match. It's the rematch. Not this match. Because there will probably be a rematch at WrestleMania Backlash.
Probably. But it's just, it's kind of like, I can see, I just don't want that to be what they go to, is like Becky once again wriggles her way out of Bianca's grasp and then they give Bianca the title at Backlash. I don't want them to do that. It's, you have the potential here to make a star out of Bianca. More so than you already have. You can be now make Bianca the face of your women's division. You can make her the number one baby face on Monday Night Raw. And there is a huge potential for it right here, right now, with WrestleMania. They've gotten it to this point. It feels like they've waited very purposely for this point. It's like it's all pointing in the right direction. And the last thing I want them to do is go, you know what would be fun? Let's have Becky win.
It would be a WWE booking.
Or let's have Bianca win by DQ and Becky keeps the title.
Yeah, I would go with that on any other show but WrestleMania.
But that's what I'm saying. It's, and then they give the title and they're like, okay, all right, now we're going to slap a stip on it. And now we're going to give the title to Bianca at Backlash, where it's not as a big deal. Especially after last year with what Sasha and Bianca did at WrestleMania. It's like you have so much potential here to do something really historic and really cool and really amazing and something that would be absolutely attention grabbing in the, all the right ways for the company. I hate to put it like that, but that's the truth. Just do the thing. Just do the thing. Just have Bianca win.
I'm going Bianca.
I have to go with Bianca. I have a little bit of doubt because it is Becky, it is WWE, but I feel like it's going Bianca's way. It almost has to, because the other side of this is if Becky wins and she thwarts Bianca at Mania, and she thwarts Bianca at Backlash, who gets the title? Who does she face?
Yeah.
There's nobody. That's the problem. You could rev Liv back up, but Liv's with Rhea Ripley. That cancels two of them out. Dewdrop. Don't know where Dewdrop is.
You've been there.
Zelina and Carmella are together.
Yeah.
There's Nikki A.S.H., but they've pretty much kicked her aside. You know, so it's like literally the Raw women's division, there's nobody else for Becky to face. So it makes complete sense that Bianca gets the title, refreshes the title, resets all the competitors, and now everybody comes for Bianca.
Yeah, now you have Nikki going for Bianca. You have Dewdrop. You have Zelina, Carmella, you name it, going after her. Because they're all heels and you can do it. And also throw Alexa back in that mix. Alexa and Bianca can be a thing coming out of WrestleMania. Bianca and, or Becky and Alexa could be a thing as well. All right, so for the record, Bianca. Lindsay's going Bianca.
Bianca.
Magic 8-Ball, does Bianca Belair win the title? Bet 8-Ball. We're on the most stupendous show of the year. You have to tell us. You have to tell us. Will Bianca Belair regain the women's championship at WrestleMania? No. 8-Ball.
Oh.
8-Ball. Is that how we're playing this night already, 8-Ball? Okay. 8-Ball said no. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
That would be your champion, Becky Lynch.
Okay, we're just a tad divided.
That's how we're starting this. We're starting this divided. Okay.
All right. Up next, we have the Mysterios taking on The Miz and Logan Paul.
No,
this has been a...
No, Lucha Logan.
It's Logan Paul Machine. Anyway... This has been built up nicely. You had Miz and Logan Paul steal Mysterio's mask, which led to Lucha Logan Paul. I feel like I don't need to really talk a lot about this. This is just a fun little celebrity appearance. It will be interesting to see how Logan Paul measures up, because I think he surprised a lot of people in the boxing world by his prowess in the ring. So let's see how he takes to wrestling.
He's been training. He's put out videos of training in the ring, so...
I mean, the standard for celebrity has gone up thanks to Bad Bunny.
It has, yeah.
So, you know, we expect at least Bad Bunny level of good here. In terms of this match from Logan Paul. We'll see if we get it, but
I look at
Mysterios are winning, right?
I don't know. I look at the Logan Paul and Miz and going, Logan Paul's big. Ray is very tiny. He should wipe the floor with Ray.
Okay, okay, okay. I'm going to bring this up. Big Show, Grey Khali, Ray Mysterio. Ray won that match.
I know. He's the greatest underdog in WWE.
He's beaten The Undertaker. He's beaten Kane.
I know. I understand this. But that was in his prime. He's no longer in his prime. He has no knees.
He has a son with knees.
I know. Oh, okay. So we got to talk about it here.
Oh my God.
Guys. All right. Hold. We're putting our WrestleMania preview on hold for a second. I have to find something and share with the class.
No. Why did they feel the need to make this? I don't understand. Like, I'm very confused.
Class, they did something. WWE.com announced something. Showed off new toys. They're showing off new toys. And since you mentioned him, we're going to show the class the new toy. It's a thing. It's happening. It's going to be available to buy. It's a SummerSlam Build-A-Figure.
Oh, God. It's a Build-A-Figure on top of it?
It's a Build-A-Figure.
Oh, my God. That just makes it worse.
Guys, they made a Dominic Mysterio action figure from when he was a kid. They made one. Why?
Reasons.
Why?
Reasons.
They made new Eddie and Ray figures, too, but why Dominic? Why? Anyway, going back to it. The greatest underdog of all time. Yes, I know he's beating everyone. It's like, I feel like Miz took the loss last year with this, going against the celebrity. Now he has the celebrity. I think
it's difficult.
I'm going Miz and Logan. That's my pick. I don't have logic. Other than Logan being really tall, I think you need some heel heat on the show. And that's your heel heat. I'm going Logan Paul and Miz. Are you still going Mysterios?
I don't know. Like, I don't... I just said it's like, it's Ray, right? Like, it's Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. You just made the case.
Yeah. It's like, it's Ray. It's WrestleMania. He's with his son. It's a beautiful moment that Ray and Dominic win at WrestleMania and they celebrate. Although, the last WrestleMania that Dominic's first WrestleMania, did he win? Did they have the beautiful father-son moment? Hold on.
WrestleMania 37. Looking. I totally forget.
Did they already get it? I'm just curious.
At WrestleMania, were they on WrestleMania last year? No.
No, they were on 36, I think.
Oh, in front of nobody, right?
Yeah, they were on the WrestleMania in front of no one.
No, he wasn't, was it? No.
No, I think he was. I think he was managing Ray.
He might have been managing Ray. He wasn't...
But did they have the beautiful... Or Ray. Were they on the pre-show?
Ray. I don't see Ray at all anywhere on these cards.
Ray... Or was that SummerSlam?
That was SummerSlam. They had their moment at SummerSlam. Wow, Ray hasn't been on WrestleMania in 2 years. Well, he's usually been hurt. Anyway.
Ouch.
Well, it's truthful. The eyeball thing came after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That was the horror show at Extreme Rules, and that led to the whole SummerSlam thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to it. Who you got?
I don't know. I have to think. Like, I hate to have to think about this. Because it's Ray. It's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Hold on. I need to look something else up. Ray Mysterio WrestleMania record.
I mean, he's being JBL. He's being a few people.
Okay, he's 4-for-5 at Mania.
So 4-for-4 and 5. Okay.
So
it's not a great WrestleMania record.
It's not a great WrestleMania record. He's won more than he's lost.
No, he's lost. He's lost more than he's won.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's lost more than he won. I'm gonna say Miz and Logan Paul because of that.
But like, you were trying to sell me on Ray
because it's Ray, underdog. And then I looked at the record and I'm like, oh,
he's the ultimate underdog. Come on,
because all I remember is him beating like the big guys.
Yeah, but usually not a WrestleMania. So you go Miz and Logan Paul.
I think so. Yeah.
Hey, Magic 8-Ball, do the Mysterios win? Outlook not so good. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
We all went against them.
Ouch.
Alright, what's
Ouch.
Next?
Up next, we have Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin.
Drew?
I expect this to be quick.
We say that every time when it comes to this. We thought the Madcap Moss match was going to be short, right?
Yeah, we did.
And it was like 10 minutes.
I...
Corbin. Happy Corbin is undefeated. Let's let that sink in. Happy Corbin is undefeated. Can you tell me anyone who he's beaten? No, but he's undefeated.
Hey, it doesn't matter how you got there. It's just that you're there.
He's lost tag matches, but he's never been pinned or submitted in singles competition. He is undefeated as Happy Corbin, which is why they're making it feel like it's a big deal that he's fighting Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre should whoop his ass in less than 5 minutes. We said that about Madcap Moss at day one, hold up your finger. That didn't happen. It went longer than it should have. I feel like the way this is going to turn out is Madcap and Happy have the falling out, because Madcap hasn't been telling as good as jokes as of late, and that could cost Happy Corbin in the end.
Well, but he also needs a Snickers.
Why wait? It's not going 20. You have too much on the show for it to go 20.
It can't go 20. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. Not with what's listed for day one. Mm-mm.
And also, Corbin doesn't have a moveset for 20 minutes.
He really doesn't. Bless him.
There's only enough chin locks you can do.
I say Drew wins this. I don't see a reason for Happy Corbin to win.
No.
Especially with the shenanigans that they've been doing with, like, stealing the sword and kind of trying to get Drew's goat and that kind of thing. I feel like Drew McIntyre is going to wind up and get his WrestleMania win here and send Corbin packing.
Yeah, he's going to break Corbin's winning streak. I'm going Drew. You're going Drew.
I'm going Drew.
Magic 8-Ball Drew.
Team Drew.
It is decidedly so, says the 8-Ball.
But oh, you like him.
Well, the wheel.
Wrestler 1.
That would be true.
Okay. Moving on. The SmackDown Tag Team Championships are on the line as the Usos take on Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Boggs?
Boogs.
Boogs. So here's my thing.
Yes.
Number one, the Usos are still champions, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's my thing.
200 and something days, by the way.
I have a whole theory that this will be the WrestleMania that the Bloodline gets their comeuppance. Just based on the way everything is set up, I feel like this fall of the Bloodline is going to start to happen here.
Yeah.
Because they've been so dominant for almost 2 years that at some point the cracks have to start to show, and at some point they have to kind of pay a little bit for what they've done. The Usos are the kind of the default tag team champions. If you don't have anybody else to put it on, you put it on the Usos or the New Day, and you're good to go. On either show, Nakamura and Boogs are over. They've been over.
Shin was just Intercontinental Champion for 200 plus days.
Shin was just Intercontinental Champion, as you said. I kind of want to go with Nakamura and Boogs. Just because it's the Usos, like, the Usos could win, and that's the easy thing to say, but I kind of want them to do something different and sort of surprise people with, like, Nakamura and Boogs.
Like, if it was any other tag team, I would say Usos lose, right? I don't know, I mean, they've been pushing them off and on in the last 9 months as a team, but it's like, Nakamura and Boogs, are they really your next tag team champions? Are they going to be the ones to end the streak? You kind of wanted, like, a legitimate team, like the Viking Raiders, do it. But then they've destroyed the Viking Raiders, so it doesn't really matter.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like that's who's legitimate in terms of your assessment on SmackDown?
I would say Sheamus and Ridge Holland, but they're not even,
they're fighting the other default tag team champions.
I know.
We're getting ready to talk about that.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, I know Vince likes Rick Boogs and he gets a pop and everything like that. So yeah, Shin and Boogs will win it. It will feel very underwhelming when they do. Sorry, saying it, what everyone's thinking. But it'll be fine. I mean, the match itself will be good. Boogs can work a little bit. Shin's really good. It's Usos are the Usos. I'm going Shin and Boogs to knock off the champs, but it wouldn't be surprising if the Usos retained.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Usos retained either, but I feel like it's just do a little surprise because it's the Usos and people I think will be expecting them to retain. So it's do a little surprise with Shinsuke and Boogs. They don't have to hold it long, but like you could have the Usos come back and win it. But I think it kind of resets the division a little bit too, because now you have these two Nakamura and Boogs holding it. And that allows other teams to then come for them, like say a Sheamus and a Ridge Holland. Because Shinsuke and Rick are faces, and you need a heel team to fight them. So, with the Usos being heels, I think they're kind of out of options there. So by putting it on babyfaces, you reset the division a little bit.
Also, New Day would then be allowed to challenge because there was a stipulation where they had no more title shots. So
yep. So they've kind of written themselves into a corner there. So there you go. And speaking of the new... Oh, wait. We have to do the wheel.
We have to do the wheel and the thing. The eight ball. Do the Usos retain? Concentrate and ask again. Hey, Magic Eight Ball. Will the Usos retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania?
Says ask again later.
Magic 8-Ball, will the Usos retain their titles? Outlook good.
Damn.
Took you long enough. Wheel.
Indecisive much.
Wrestler 1.
Okay. Before we continue on, right? Do I have this? We have this. Look how close... damn it, it's not going to show up. Thought it would. Hold. Mm-hmm. Holding. Where's the Google Chrome? There. It's basically on the line. On the wheel for 1 and 2. It's like riding the line.
It is, but it's just hair into wrestle.
I just wanted everyone to see it's riding that line. Anyway, moving on.
Since we talked about him, Shinsuke Nakamura, or not Shinsuke Nakamura, good lord, we were talking about Shinsuke. The New Day taking on Sheamus and Ridge Holland. I'm assuming that Peter Dune,
Butch.
AKA Butch, will be at ringside.
So this was supposed to be a 6-man tag. That was the idea. But because of the injury, Big E is not at WrestleMania. He won't be around for a while. So Xavier Woods, a.k.a. King Woods, even though they're back calling him Xavier, and Kofi leading the charge. I kind of wish it was Sheamus and Butch, honestly. That would have been a fun match. Them teaming against New Day. Maybe we'll get that pairing at some point, but I wish it was Butch. I don't know about this one. I feel like because of all the injuries the New Day's had, between Kofi being injured at points and then Big E being hurt now and Woods just came back. It was out for 8 weeks since, coming off right before the Rumble. It's like it's kind of killed the momentum of whatever the New Day has. And they were never, like, this whole culmination thing was, okay, Big E got moved back. So they're building to this big 6-man tag team reunion, right? It's a big reunion of the New Day. And they kind of fizzled because of injuries to all the parties. And it's like, well, that kind of blows. And it's like, they're trying to build up Sheamus with Ridge and Butch as his, Ridge and Butch being his two guys. And it's like, I kind of like that he has a crew of people. Like, I like Sheamus leading a crew, and it's cool and it's different.
Sheamus is generally always better when he has someone to play off of.
Yeah.
That's just the fact with him. Like, Cesaro is a great example of him having a good partner to work with, and he has enough personality that he can balance Ridge Holland and Pete, and because Pete is like basically your angry alley cat that you brought in the house and he doesn't want to be there kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really talk much, but he's got a great look and he can sneer really, really well. Ridge Holland looks mean, but he doesn't really talk much. So you need someone to be able to bring the personality and talk for them. And that's where Sheamus comes in. He's got that really, really big personality that he can bring to the table. And he's a good leader because he's the older, experienced vet that's leading these younger, less experienced guys to the fights.
Yeah.
It's very good for him. And I like the whole aesthetic, even though it's like a Peaky Blinders thing, which feels a little out of place, but it's not bad.
But it's a cool look they got. They have a look. It's the Fight Night crew. It looks great.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, in terms of New Day, I hate to say it, but I feel like the King's Woods thing has kind of fizzled.
Because he got hurt.
And it's just, I feel like in terms of wins, losses, New Day can take the loss. I think it's more important to put Sheamus and Ridge Holland over here to help establish that group and continue to build that group because they really shouldn't be losing. They should be able to roll up and take out anybody in front of them because they're the Fight Night crew. So it's the whole emphasis is that they fight.
9 out of 10 Sundays out of the year, I would pick New Day to win. This is number 10, even on a Saturday.
Yeah.
New Day should win 9 out of 10 whenever it's a big match on a big show. This is the exception to the rule. Sheamus and Ridge need the win more because the New Day's gotten some edge on them lately. So it's like Sheamus and Ridge kind of need the oomph coming out of Mania. And the New Day. They're not. Woods wants to be Intercontinental Champion at some point this year, I think. That's his next goal. So, where do you go from here with them? I think you kind of figure them out and such. They're not the team you need right now. because their time as a team has kind of come and gone. They're a great act. They're still entertaining as hell, but they're not the focus anymore. Because Woods, again, one's been injured, two is focusing elsewhere, has other goals he wants to accomplish in life. Kofi is being a father more, not being on the road as much. And he's coming off injuries, and, you know, you can see he's on the tail end of his career. However long that may be, 5, 10 years, whatever it is, but he's on the downside. With Big E out, if there was the trio, New Day wins.
Hands down.
It's not the trio. It's Sheamus and Ridge, and they have the Butch in the corner. Butch plays the factor, giving Sheamus and Ridge the win. I'm going with Sheamus and Ridge.
I'm going Sheamus and Ridge.
Magic 8-Ball, do Sheamus and Ridge win? Sources say nope. Will?
Wrestler 2.
That would be Sheamus and Ridge.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
I need to go to Twitter. Keep interested.
So, the mystery that has set the internet ablaze. The giant question mark. The equally best kept and worst kept secret in professional wrestling since CM Punk, Seth freaking Rollins, taking on an unknown opponent. They will be announced the night of WrestleMania when Seth is in the ring.
Okay.
There is rampant and wild speculation about who it could be.
Before we go reckless and name the people, right? Let's talk about Monday, because we didn't do a show Monday. Let's talk about Monday and Seth Rollins going to Vince McMahon's office. Seth is out of control.
The fact that Seth got paid to do that makes me really mad. Like, the fact that he was basically allowed to go into Vince's office and dance around Vince's office and jump up on his desk and dance around on his desk and, like, do all these things. Like, oh, God. He got paid to do that. Number two, if Vince McMahon made me sit in his chamber, like his reception area, for a fucking hour, I'd be so pissed. Especially at like 7 in the morning. Like, that's the thing. The meeting was supposed to be, I think, at like
9.
Seth got there at like 6:45 in the morning.
The meeting was at 9. He got there early.
Oh, he got there early? I'd still be pissed.
Yeah. He was the one there early. But yeah.
But also, dedication to that receptionist that was there that early in the morning.
Yeah.
Because damn, everybody was there that early in the morning because it's Vince, but.
Vince playing it off straight face was great. Seth just going, all I had to do was ask. Really? Really?
I love that, because that was what was everybody was pointing out on the internet, was like, you know, everybody else is getting in. I don't understand why it's such a problem for Seth. And then Vince is just like, dude, all you had to do was pick up a phone. Why are you jumping through hoops like this?
Wasn't going to say it's going to be easy, but you could just ask. I mean, yeah. Like, it's the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. I can't, you know, can't have it without Seth Rollins. And Vince was like, well, we could, but I'd rather not, but we could. I mean, so... yeah, that was great. And him yelling at the T-Rex on the wall was top-notch. Classic Seth Rollins. So as of now, we're going to recklessly speculate on who the TBD is going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do it based off of Seth Rollins' Twitter. He has tweeted out, Veer Mahan, Shane McMahon, Mustafa Ali, Mr. You Can See Me, John Cena, The Whole Effin' Show, Rob Van Dam, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, Walk With Elias, Bailey, Marco Stunt, Goldberg, Asuka, and of course, Vincent Kennedy McMahon are all of Seth Rollins' options he's laid out so far of who the TBD at WrestleMania is going to be. Now, chat, we all know who TBD is actually going to be, right?
There is wild and crazy speculation.
Manifestation. Almost.
Where people just don't even know what to do with themselves. They've been trying so hard to figure this story out and get the dirt and the 411 and all the things, because specific people have gone radio silent. And it's very, very difficult when you've had years and years and years of transparency to hear silence. And the rumor, ladies and gentlemen, is that one Cody Rhodes is highly speculated to be Seth's opponent at WrestleMania. There has been massive hinting. There has been massive manifestation going on. Everybody is convinced it is a lock. It's WWE. It's WrestleMania. Nothing is a lock. There's also been wild speculation that he has signed his contract, even though there is no confirmation that he has done that. Because Cody has been quiet, WWE has been quiet, there's been no announcement made. There was a lot of thought that he might show up in Chicago, there was a thought he would show up in Jacksonville. Neither one of those things happened, so now it's he's showing up at WrestleMania as one of the big surprises for the show.
So what's interesting, right, about Cody, right? Everyone wants to manifest it. All the biggest observers in the world and the insiders of the Pete Windsor's variety, they're all trying to manifest this and all the dirt sheets, and everyone wants this to happen. They want this to make this the thing. And then when they even manifest it and they say, this is happening, we reported it, you paid us $10 to find out the answer, yes, it is happening. They then go out and say, well, maybe he might back out. Who knows?
Well, but if he's signed his contract, he can't back out.
But they're telling you 48 hours beforehand, he may back out. Why? Why is he backing? Why is he going to back out? That's the dumbest. Is it because you don't want to be called out and say, hey, we said Cody's going to be there, but he's not, might not be there. Graphics have been made. Okay, you all want to know how we know he's going to be there. When was the last time they put out merchandise for Dusty Rhodes? It's been a minute, right? Been about a while? If you go to WWEshop.com right now, there's brand new Dusty Rhodes merch on sale today. Interesting, huh?
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Interesting. It's a new section on the website, too, where there's new. It's a new merch section for it. It's like, oh, that's new. The Marquee Classics. It's right up there. Dusty Rhodes t-shirt. Huh. Didn't Cody Rhodes get the trademark for Dusty Rhodes?
He did.
So WWE couldn't sell merch for Dusty Rhodes if Cody has the trademark stuff. But if Cody's working with the company and now can sell some t-shirts.
Well, I don't know. I know he got the trademark to the Rhodes name. But I don't know if he got the trademark to Dusty Rhodes specifically.
I believe he got his father's trademark.
I think he did. I know he's got the one to the Rhodes name, but still, it's they have not necessarily sold Dusty Rhodes merchandise in quite a long time, and now it's suddenly there.
WrestleMania weekend.
WrestleMania weekend, when his son is speculated to show up. Quinky dink, could be.
Cody Rhodes owns Dusty Rhodes.
It could be that Cody licensed it back to Vince, that in their conversations that may or may not have happened, that may or may not have resulted in something, that Cody agreed to license it back to Vince in exchange for a financial compensation of some kind. Because, well, you know, that's one way to make money. Because he owns the trademarks, several trademarks. Yeah. He got different ones. Because I think he got some of the WCW names, too.
He did. Regular speculate Cody Rhodes. Yes, Cody Rhodes is going to most likely 99.9% be the opponent. If you check out our YouTube channel this Saturday, you'll see the simulation of Cody versus Seth. Because we did one. So there's that. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of reaction he gets, how he's presented. Is he going to, as Matt brings up, wonder what theme song he's going to use? He could come back to Smoke and Mirrors. They could have something created for him. Or he can come out and be presented like he was in AEW with his music that he was using there. Because Cody owns that music. And if I'm WWE, I would try to present him as much as he was, as he looked and felt like he was in AEW compared to the last time he was in WWE. That's how I would present him. I'd make him more the presentation we've all learned to understand who he was compared to the WWE version of what Cody used to be. And there's probably a middle ground in there too. But I would make him feel like a complete star. Because you need a star. Yeah, you need a game changer. That's a good word. And if they're going to bring him in, he needs to be that game changer.
Cody has not done everything that he's done to come back and be Stardust.
No.
He's not done everything that he's done to come back and be Dashing Cody Rhodes. He has, to his credit, he left the company. Not in the best circumstances, but he left the company. And he built himself into what he is now. He helped to build a very successful alternate wrestling promotion in the landscape, and he was a major part of that. He created the American Nightmare gimmick, bad tattoo and all.
That's an awful placement of a tattoo.
So, and he decided that he was not happy in AEW. It was not what he wanted. He did not have the power that he wanted. And it's, well, if I can't get it here, I'm not going to get it anywhere. So I might as well go back to the E and make some money. That's just speculating on what he was thinking. I don't know what he was actually thinking, but the other side of that conversation with Tony Khan was that he wanted more money and Tony was not willing to pay him, what he wanted, but it's like he could go to Vince and probably get what he wanted. Because he now brings much more to the table than what he did 7 or so years ago when he was there. Because his whole bone with WWE was, well, I can be a main eventer for you, just let me try. And they were like, no. And so he left. And his whole goal has been to prove to Vince McMahon that, yes, I can be that main event guy that you're looking for. I can be that next star. I can be everything you want me to be. Just give me the chance. And they never did. And so Cody created his own opportunity and he went out and he made himself into a star. He did it at the expense of a lot of people, but he did it. And some paths are not easily managed as a result. The fact that they have waited and they have held this and they have not confirmed it, even though they've teased it, they've not confirmed it, shows how big of a deal this is.
Yep.
Because they could have easily trotted Cody out earlier than this. They could have easily announced that he signed if he has earlier. Like the second he did it, they could have put it out. They have not. They are holding this until night one of WrestleMania when Seth Rollins is standing in the ring and they're going to make a statement with this.
Question.
That's what this is.
Question.
Hmm.
Do you open with it?
No.
Okay. Midway?
Midway. I do it smack dab in the middle of the show.
Because you're closing with Austin.
You're closing with Austin. I would put Seth and whoever he's facing in the middle of the show just as a nice lift for the middle point of the show.
Okay. So Becky and Bianca should open then?
I feel like either of the women's matches should have opened. I don't know which one should, but I feel like either women's match could open. It would be fine.
Okay.
But yeah, I would put this in the middle of the show, but this is going to be a statement. This is going to be something where it's, if it is Cody, they are going to roll him out in front of whatever the WrestleMania crowd size is, 80, 90,000 people, whatever it is.
60 to 70, probably.
I'm sure they'll figure out a way to get 20,000 more
they're
people.
It's going to be a legitimate 60 to 70, and WWE then will sports entertainment to 90.
So anyway, 60 to 70,000 people, that's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're going to trot out the former EVP of AEW at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, you like surprises?
Hey, you like WrestleMania moments?
Y'all stand back and watch this.
It's going to be a moment. Like, they're holding him off. Like, it'd be cool in Jacksonville to rub it in, but you want to get the thing. You won't, and in Chicago, they've been cool moments. The fact that they see him as a big enough deal to give him a WrestleMania moment, that's freaking cool.
It's partially him, I feel like, if it is him, and it's also partially kind of throwing a very subtle middle finger up at Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Because AEW has taken a lot of shots. They've done a lot of things to try and, you know, get WWE's goat, and WWE, to their credit, has not necessarily responded that much. Because they don't, one, they don't need to, but two, they're now going to potentially use this as a way to respond. With Tony Khan and his weekly surprises, and oh my god, I have a big signing, tune in to Dynamite to find out. They're not even saying that. It's just, Seth's going to be on the show, we have somebody to fight him, tune in, watch. That's the message, that's what they're sending with this. It's not even, it's a big surprise, it's not even, it's a big star. We don't even know who it is. This is all wild speculation and manifestation that's going on.
Yeah.
Like, they could trot Hornswoggle out.
Braun Breaker, they could chant out Gable Stevenson. It could be anybody.
It could be anybody, that's the whole point.
Could be The Undertaker. You never know, because it's an opponent of Vince McMahon's choosing. Shane McMahon, who everyone's, oh my god, I can't believe Shane McMahon's going. He's going to watch Taker going to Hall of Fame. They're best friends. So there's that. Thank you for your reckless speculation there, Nate. But could he be the opponent? Yeah, could they could, you know what they could do?
Hmm.
They could tease the ever-living hell out of it. They could play Shane McMahon's music, and Shane McMahon walks out, and he's not the opponent.
Oh yeah, no, they could drag it out. They could totally drag it out.
Yeah.
They could absolutely dig around with Seth and everybody else.
And the fact that you trust Seth Rollins to be in that position is great. Him and Kevin Owens, and we're going to talk about Kevin Owens here in a minute, are fighting not having been building their opponents without having their opponents there. They've done a hell of a job. Seth Rollins is the man, and he's doing a great job building this without having to go, hey, I'm fighting Cody. By the way, Becky, oh, Becky, the fans are chanting Colby, Colby, Colby. You know his government name, not Cody. They're chanting Colby.
That was a great cover. Go Becky for that. I've actually came up that on like on a dime too. She's like, yeah, no, it's not that. It's this. It's this. They just love him so much that it's this.
He's gonna wrestle himself.
It's gonna be a broom.
So it's like they're doing this is.
This is well done.
This is well done. They got every what they have done is gotten people to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing you need when you're trying to make this the most stupendous night of the year. People need to be talking about your programming, not about your demo rating.
Yep.
Because all people do talk about AEW is they're not talking about the storylines. They talk about the demo point. We're talking about a storyline here, not the demo. That said, TBA wins.
Yeah, I feel like Seth's gonna lay down for whoever this is because he's the perfect smarmy heel. He can take the loss and it won't hurt anything because he'll bounce right back off of it. And you have a moment, whatever it's going to be, for TBA. And you have something that will more than likely leave people talking into night two and beyond.
Into night two and into Monday Night Raw.
Oh. I will say this, if it is Cody, please, everybody, let's be nice. Let's be polite and not go after his family. Okay.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't be dicks about it. This is Cody's choice. We all respect Cody's choice. He left AEW honorably. He's presumably signed with WWE honorably. There's no harm. There's no foul here. He wasn't happy. He left. It's his right to do that. Is it a little embarrassing to AEW and Tony Khan? Yes.
Yeah.
They lost a founder within 3 years?
Yes. 3 years in, they lost the EVP. Yeah, that's kind of an egg on your face.
That's a little embarrassing that Tony Khan could not retain him, but there's a lot of speculation as to if Tony Khan even wanted to retain him. But that's a whole different conversation. But let's all be nice. Let's not be assholes. Okay?
Be assholes on other things, not this.
Yeah.
So
his sister and his brother and his wife have nothing to do with this.
Yeah. So officially, I'm going TBA because it's written in the stars.
I'm going TBA.
Magic 8-Ball that Seth freaking Rollins win at WrestleMania. Sources say nope for Seth Rollins winning, so they're going TBA. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Has Seth freaking Rollins. Alright, what's next?
In what will assuredly be a fight, the SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line as Charlotte Flair takes on Ronda Rousey.
So you want to know the most interesting things about this feud I like?
Hmm.
How there are little videos that keep coming out with Ronda Rousey training with Shayna on how to escape different submissions. There's a one that was posted today of Ronda learning how to counter the figure eight. Shayna teaching her the ways to escape it. I like that they're reuniting the two of them, even though they're not on TV reunited because Shayna's a heel and Ronda's the babyface. Outside of it, they're still friends and they connect. And they've been working together. She helped her with the ankle lock and helping her with this. It's like, okay, we see what you're doing. She helped her getting back into gear. That's non-storyline stuff. Storyline stuff, this has been a fun little feud. You've seen Ronda work her way back into it. They've kind of been getting at each other. They had the big brawl a couple weeks ago, fighting with the car. It wasn't as cool as the place the car won from a few years back, but it was cool enough. Ronda has been having her way at times with Charlotte. But at the same point, Charlotte has gotten Rousey a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if they decide to put the strap back on Ronda. And I think you should. Charlotte doesn't need the belt to be successful in the company. She doesn't. And I assume she's getting married soon. That's just my hunch. I know Carmella is. I think Charlotte should be getting married here soon too. So someone's probably taking time off. Better to put the belt on Ronda now before Charlotte leaves, and you can still do a rematch for the Backlash. You can get another one out of it. The idea about bringing Ronda back is you got to make her look strong, and you got to keep her strong because it's Ronda Rousey. That's the idea. Someone will eventually beat her, but she's not going to lose her first big match right out of the gate. She beat Sonya a couple weeks ago. She won the tag match, and she's been a little active, but it's not like Ronda's been in the ring and gets a real opponent for a really long time. Sonya's good, but she's not Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is the 13-time women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna, like, they're gonna have to work. This is gonna be a fight, as you mentioned, but it's also gonna be technical. think we're going to see a lot of groundwork. I think we're going to see a lot of submissions. And a lot of people, in fact, this should have been like a submission match. Maybe we'll get that as a rematch. Because maybe you can figure a way to do a pinfall here. Maybe then you take it to a submission for the rematch. But this is going to be good. I want to see how Ronda can go in a singles match for 15 minutes. I want to see what kind of shape she's in. I want to see if she can go 10, 15 minutes. I want to see where she's at. I think she's going to be really good because she has enough whereabouts around her to carry her. And I think she'll be fine. And Charlotte's really good. What are your thoughts?
You didn't bring Ronda back to not put the title on her at some point.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like, Ronda's whole departure from the company was that she wanted to take time off to go get pregnant and have a baby. She's done that. She's good. Ronda's not working full time. She's, I think, only doing TV, and at that, I think it's limited TV. But the one thing that you want to do, especially heading into next year, which will be their beginning of their renegotiation for their contracts, is to have big names on the show, to be pulling in ratings, to be hitting your demos, to be doing all of those things. That's when you want to do it. So the return of Ronda Rousey is very aptly timed because WWE will be going into negotiations with USA and Fox in the next 12 months for their TV deals.
Yeah.
USA and Fox paid a lot of money for WWE this last time.
Billions of dollars.
Billions and billions and billions of dollars to, based on the product as it was at the time, which included people like Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey. And then almost immediately after the ink dried, Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey fucked off. So, and Brock has come back and forth and that kind of thing, but Ronda's now back.
We also got hit by a pandemic with so that kind of thing.
Yeah, that didn't help either.
Yeah.
But as I like to say, as a lot of people like to say, 2020 didn't count. Because a lot of people don't count it for business purposes because it makes sense. They also do provide content. Ronda's a household name. Ronda will put a lot of eyeballs on the product. She will bring a lot of people into the product. That's a given. It happened before. Whether you love her or hate her, that is the reality of Ronda Rousey. That's why they bring people like her in, is she brings eyeballs to the product, which is ultimately what they want. That's her job. She's a draw. As you stated, Charlotte does not need the title. Charlotte is essentially holding the title for someone to come take it off of her. She has sort of become what New Day and the Usos are to the tag title. She is that to the women's title, which is if you need a champion, you have nobody else to put it on, boom, you put it on Charlotte, she can carry it, it's fine. And she can lose it just as easily, and it doesn't hurt her at all. She will bounce right back.
And she's held this one long enough to where it matters. She exchanged it with
Becky,
but she's been the champion since September. So it's not like it's, oh, she just won and is losing again. She's been holding the belt for a while. She's been long enough as champion where she beat Alexa and all this stuff. And she's come out of it looking like, okay, she's still the champion and she's defeated all the people along the way. So it's like it's not a quick Charlotte reign where it's back and forth with Sasha. This is a long one for Charlotte. She got over the one and done part of it. She's held it for a long period of time.
And ultimately, at some point, you do need to, again, reset the division. They do like to change the titles at WrestleMania to kind of reset for the summer programs, especially heading into SummerSlam. They're going to want to utilize Ronda. I feel like Ronda takes it off of Charlotte here. It's going to be aggressive. It's going to be a lot of, you know, technical work, like you said, wrestling, submissions, back and forth. I expect Charlotte to get excessively vicious. I expect Ronda to get excessively vicious. I could even see somebody getting busted open the hard way here. I don't want to call for blood, but I feel like that could potentially happen just with their previous encounters.
Yeah.
It's a definite possibility. But ultimately, I see Ronda bringing this home. I don't see a reason for Charlotte to hold the title and beat her beyond it's Charlotte Flair beats Ronda Rousey. And then that kind of sort of defeats the purpose of Ronda. I know at some point she does have to take a loss, but I don't feel like it needs to be here. You could have her win, and it's perfectly acceptable. It's a big WrestleMania moment that will make SportsCenter, that will make ESPN, that will make, you know, Twitter and everything, every sports stuff, Yahoo, you name it. It will make all the things and get their name out there, which is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the press. This is to get people's attention, which is, hey, we're going to put the title on Ronda Rousey. She's going to win the SmackDown Women's title. And there she'll be on the front page of every news outlet out there that is willing to cover it with the title and their name next to it. So I'm going Ronda.
I'm going to go Ronda as well. Magic 8-Ball, does Ronda Rousey win the belt at WrestleMania 8-Ball?
No.
Oh.
An emphatic no. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Charlotte.
And last, but certainly not least, your main event of Night 1 of WrestleMania. After 19 years, the much-anticipated in-ring return of one Stone Cold Steve Austin as he joins Kevin Owens on the KO show for what we can believe to be fisticuffs at the least. There will be beer. There will be stunners. There will be head nodding. There will be glass breaking. There will be a four-wheeler.
So I thought about this, right? Remember WrestleMania 32?
Barely.
But it was I think it was 32. The last time they were in Texas, right? And they did this whole thing. You had it was the League of Legends, whatever League of Nations.
Yeah.
And the New Day, right? They did the whole thing, and then the League of Legends win, and League of Nations, because I'm thinking the game. League of Nations, they do this whole thing, and they're better than everyone, and they call out they're better than all these Hall of Famers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And out comes Shawn Michaels, and then Mick Foley, and then Stone Cold comes out, right? And then they have the fight. They have a little bit of a fight, and Stone Cold stomps the butthole and everything. But the biggest story about that whole thing was, Shawn originally thought they were all supposed to wear gear. So Shawn comes out in gear. He thought Steve was going to wear gear. Steve didn't wear gear.
Steve probably wasn't in shape to wear gear.
He just came out in jeans, and you're like, oh, we're not doing, oh, okay. Do I expect Steve Austin to be coming out in the black tights? Ah, that's tough.
I expect the jorts.
But man, it would be cool if he came out. I mean, it would be really cool if it was in the tights. I don't, cause that's the thing. You're calling it 19 years, right? That was 19 years ago in tights. I don't know.
To be clear, this is not an official match.
No.
This is just a get together between the two of them. There is nothing sanctioned here. There's probably not even going to be a bell. It's just literally Steve Austin is going to beat the high holy teeth out of Kevin Owens and then celebrate with lots and lots and lots of beer. No beer truck, but beer.
They're going to send the crowd home happy.
You have the big moment in Dallas.
Yeah, this is going to be Steve Austin. Kevin Owens is going to whoop Steve Austin's ass, right? It's going to happen. He's going to beat his ass down, and then you're going to get the comeback. And that's where the key is. We've seen Steve do the punches all, you know, throughout the comebacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see the Steve Austin comeback. He always is always in the command. This is where he's going to have to make, he's going to take a beating and he's going to have to make the comeback. And the comeback is, you know, the Luthes press, the elbow, the right hand, rights and left, the stop in the mud holes, and then the big ass stunner at the end. It's going to be cool to go back down nostalgia lane. It's going to see Steve Austin be Steve Austin one last time, in quotations. That's what this is all about. Kevin Owens has been fan-freaking-tastic building this match.
He's been so good.
The impersonations, the videos that they've been putting out on social where he's mocking all these Stone Cold promos and recutting them in his words at points. It is so effing good. Kevin Owens is your MVP of this WrestleMania build. He's done everything you can ask for, which is why he found out in January that this was going to be a thing. So it's like he re-signed and then they give him this. This is a big, hey, thanks for re-signing with us. Kevin Owens has been awesome this entire build. You can see why Vince McMahon personally wanted him to stay with the company.
Because if anybody could pull this off, it's Kevin Owens.
It's Kevin Owens. He's a great personality. He deserves a run with a championship coming out of this in the next 6 months. He deserves to be a main eventer solid because of the work he's done to this point. He's going to get his ass whooped in the end, but guess what? He will tell you, at the end of the day, that's what should happen. Because he's the asshole who's talked in all this big talk, who needs to get his comeuppance, and it's going to be comeuppance at the hands of the Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin, at the most stupendous WrestleMania of them all.
This is a dream come true for any talent.
Yeah.
To get the opportunity, especially something as special as this, where it will be only one time. Austin's not going to make any type of in-ring return after this. He's going to roll up, he's going to kick the shit out of Austin, and he's going to leave. That's it. This is a one-time thing.
Because if it wasn't, this would be a match.
Yeah. So, for Austin, he's coming in, he's going to do his thing. For Kevin, this is hugely special, because I think he's actually a really big Austin fan.
Yeah, he grew up watching him. This is a big to-do. This is a big deal.
So, for him personally, it's a really special moment. He doesn't need to win. He's already winning. That's the thing. The rub he's going to get off of this is going to be insane.
Yeah. He's supposedly main eventing WrestleMania. And he could be the semi-main, it could be wherever you want to be. He's in a main event position with Stone Cold Steve Austin on WrestleMania in Dallas.
It's like, what was it? Who did AJ fight when he debuted?
Jericho.
And he lost?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I won. I already won.
Yeah. Like, this is a big moment. This is a big to-do because everyone has wanted this one. This has been the one that they could never get. They tried back in as early as 2005 to make this happen when they booked him versus Jonathan Coachman and also went, nope, that ain't happening. Then you had all the people along the way try to make this one happen, including CM Punk. When the big video game Attitude Era stuff came out, right? Punk was at his hottest, right? He tried to manifest this one. He couldn't get it done. Now it's gonna happen. It's not a match, as per se, but it's a fight. It's a confrontation. You can call it a match. It'll probably turn out to be some sort of match. They can call it in the ring and make it a match and ring the bell, and Austin rips off the jorts and goes and brings out the black tights and whoops on them and wins the quick match after the big ass brawl, right? It can happen. WrestleMania is built for moments. This is a WrestleMania moment we'll be talking about for a long time. So with that, the question is, how many stunners will take place during this segment?
Okay, is it just Austin stunners, or is it total?
Total stunners between both kings of the stunners.
I'm going to conservatively say 10.
I don't think it's going to be that high. I'm saying 6.
I'm going to go high. I'm going to say 10.
There's no halves, Matt. There's no halves.
Well, but, I mean, it could get blocked. But Austin could block one. There's going to be like
There's going to be like 17 blocks. Like there's no half a stunner. The only half a stunner is when Vince takes a stunner.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's night one.
So we are going to take our break for the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WrestleMania Night 2. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line!
Go Stone Cold Stepson.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple, but if you want to follow the channel the regular way, subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are going to jump into the most stupendous night, part two, WrestleMania night two. Oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about. Y'all ready? Y'all comfy? You good to go?
Let's do this.
Let's do this. All right. WWE's Women's Tag Team Championships are on the line as Queen Zelina and Carmella are taking on Sasha Banks and Naomi, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, and Natalya and Shayna Baszler. By the way, can I just say, no offense to anybody involved, but Natalya and Shayna? That's random.
Well, it's the Queen of Hearts and the Queen of Spades. I mean, it kind of goes together, though, when you think about it like that.
When you think about it like that, it goes together. It's just, it's... personality-wise, it's very random.
It is very random. Everything about this is very random. The pairing of Carmella and Zelina was very random at the beginning. I think this is the end of the reign of Queen Zelina and Carmella as the tag team champions. Carmella is going off to get married, so dropping the belt would make most sense. The question is, to who? Who do they drop it against? You have Rhea and Liv, who have been paired nicely. Rhea, though, keeps losing partners and gaining new ones. It seems, because they want to feature her, but they're not sure where to feature her. And the title picture, they weren't ready to do the Becky Rhea feud, which, understandable, you want to wait on that one, because Bianca's the one that has to be made right now. Rhea last year was in the title picture, now she's in the women's tag title picture, there's nothing wrong with that. I love the pairing with her and Liv. I think they actually mesh well together.
Mm-hmm. They do. Yeah, I liked Rhea and Nikki. It was a good pairing, but... you know what the vibe that I get off of Rhea and Liv is?
What's that?
China and Miss Kitty.
A little.
Like, not in the same way, but, like, I just look at them and it's, like, the size difference and just everything about it. It's, like, I kind of get that vibe off of it and I like it.
It's a nice, they mix. They have a chemistry together that you can tell they're having fun together when they're in the ring and they're, what, their living nightmare or whatever. Whatever,
yeah.
Whatever they come up with a name. I'm curious to see what kind of outfits they come together with for Sunday.
Latexy.
I would expect latex is going to be involved a lot in it. You said Natty and Shayna is a weird pairing it, because it is. But then you have Sasha and Naomi, who go all the way back to Team Bad. Out of entrances, I'm curious to see if they combine their entrances and what kind of glow we get from them.
Oh, it's going to be epic.
I kind of hope they do like a mashup entrance together with some Boss Glow and just sort of like rock the house. It should be really cool. I don't expect this match to be the greatest match we've ever seen, but you got some good workers in there. I don't know how much time they're going to give them. They're probably going to give 7-8 minutes. They're getting all their stuff in. We're going to get new champs. I'm down to Team Glow and Team Nightmare. Those are my two I'm leaning towards.
I feel like it's going to go to Team Nightmare, because you got to do something with it, right? Like, it's over, it's popular, people are into it, they don't have to have it long, but I feel like Sasha and Naomi might just be a temp situation until the title moves on SmackDown.
But I'll say this, this way you can get Sasha and Naomi on Raw when needed.
Yeah.
If they put the belts on them.
I don't know, I still say it's going to Rhea and Liv.
You're going Rhea and Liv? I mean, this would be Liv's big title win. Like, you can...
Because they gotta do something with her, right?
You gotta, like, that's a...
At some point, you have to.
You have to. I'm going Sasha and Naomi, though. I just... My brain... That's where my brain leads. Don't ask me why. It's just that that's where I feel like it's going. So I'm going Sasha and Naomi. You're going Liv and Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
Magic 8-Ball to Colleen, Zelina, and Carmella retain. Oh, okay. Wheel? Who wins?
Wrestler 2.
That would be Sasha and Naomi.
Okay. Alrighty. Up next we have Anything Goes! Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn in what I'm sure will be just utter stupidity.
The phrase is utter jackassery. TM.
You know, same difference.
Okay, so a little while ago, right before the break, we talked about Kevin Owens being the MVP of this WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn is the other MVP.
Yeah.
The work he has done since starting this feud with Johnny Knoxville right before the Royal Rumble and carrying it all the way through into the Rumble, and then they're like, hey, Johnny, you want to work WrestleMania? Yeah, sure. Sami Zayn has been phenomenal. Everything he's done, including the cell phone bit, where he's answering the phone any day, any night, at any random time. He's been answering the phone, talking to people, then screaming about it on Twitter. Him then roaming the town of Johnny's hometown of Knoxville was great too. Sami resigned and they put him in a prime position. They don't put anyone, just anyone in the ring with celebrities. They put people they trust in the ring with celebrities.
Yep.
They trust Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is a tremendous character for them. He is the guy you want to see get punched in the face.
Yep.
Johnny Knoxville knows how to punch people in faces, just not the way you expect to punch them in the face. He usually gets a big giant hand and punches them in the face.
Which that could happen.
It could. Johnny's going to do something stupid. Or one of his guys is going to try to do something stupid. Or all of them will try to do something stupid, because I have a feeling we're going to get the jackass crew as much as you can get. Sans Bam Margera, because they don't get along. Involved in this. We're probably going to get a Steve-O appearance, because he'll probably make sure he's COVID-free, like he was before, wasn't at the Royal Rumble. This one's going to be fun. This is not going to be a 5-star. It's going to be shenanigans. That's why it's Anything Goes. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be constantly moving and doing things and keeping you interested. It's going to pop the crowd. Gonna be one of those feel good moments. I kind of want Johnny to win though.
I kind of feel like Johnny sort of has to win here, but I don't know, because it's like, what do you do with Sami Zayn after, right? Like that's the question. Like, what do you do with Sami Zayn? Because I feel like it would be an ultimate like heel move, like move for him, sort of almost an Andy Kaufman esque kind of thing, where Sami beats up Johnny. And then he looks like a giant dick afterwards because he beat up Johnny Knoxville, right? In what is very clearly not a fair fight.
Oh, it's not. Completely
like,
not.
Not knocking Johnny Knoxville at all, but like just looking at the two of them, it's like...
Johnny's a 50-year-old man who's been beat up for his entire life, and he's not a pro wrestler. Sami Zayn's a pro wrestler. He's a sports entertainer. It's a class difference. Johnny's not a fighter. He's an actor. But he is an actor who can do stupid things, and getting in the ring is one of the stupid things he's probably done, but probably a bucket list thing.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, what happens if Sami loses? Like, the ultimate conspiracy man can take any loss and turn it into a win for himself. That's the money in his gimmick. The ultimate conspiracy is always against Sami Zayn. Because when it's seven jackass crew members against Sami Zayn at WrestleMania and Sami loses, he can blame that there were seven men that took me out. Seven. Or five. Or whatever the big number is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the ultimate conspiracy, and he can get his heat back. Sami's name is not a world title contender. He's your upper mid card worker that can fight anybody and deliver a promo better than most people on your roster, because what he says is completely stupid but completely believable coming out of his mouth. That's what makes Sami Zayn Mr. Conspiracy and MVP for WWE. It's why he's staying with WWE and not going back to be El Generico wrestling on the indies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Johnny Knoxville in this one just because it's a cool celebrity moment, because it's jackassery, and Sami will be fine coming out of it.
I have to go Johnny Knoxville too, just because it's a celebrity, and celebrities tend not to lose at WrestleMania. Like, it's
though we had the 5-minute debate of Logan Paul, Mysterio, Logan, like
that was Ray.
But it's a celebrity.
But it's Ray.
But it's a celebrity.
But it's Ray and his son having a golden WrestleMania moment. Yeah, I have to go with Johnny Knoxville here, just because it's Johnny Knoxville, and Sami will be fine.
Magic 8-Ball, the Sami Zayn win. Very doubtful. Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
On our sheet, that's Sami. So there you go. Alright, next.
Up next, we have Pat McAfee taking on Austin Theory. You want to talk about a fun little feud? This has been a fun little feud.
Vince McMahon offered Pat McAfee an opportunity, and by golly, he's taking advantage of it. They made Vince McMahon t-shirts based off of Pat's appearance on the show. The $1 billion.
Lean into it.
$1 billion asshole. That was great. For a guy like Pat McAfee, this is a moment he has dreamt for his entire life. He's wanted to be a pro wrestler. He gave it up to be a punter in the NFL. Retired, became podcast host, a talk show host, talking head, while also continuing his love for pro wrestling. He became part of the panels for WWE when Michael Cole hired him back at WrestleMania 31 and almost fired him because he wore shorts. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And now Pat has found his way, after feuding with Adam Cole, Bay Bay, and the Undisputed Eras, to now being a part of the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time, against a competent worker in Austin Theory. Austin getting under his skin has been really good. Pat being a dick has been really good. This is going to be one hell of a show. Be one hell of a match, and Pat can work. Pat knows when he has to turn the lights on, he can deliver. And he's going to deliver on this one. But what is Pat McAfee in WWE? He's an announcer for Friday Night SmackDown. The announcer should not beat the pro wrestler who works every week.
Uh-uh.
Pat will get his spots, but in the end, Austin Theory should get the win. Because if Pat became a regular worker, then Pat won't win. Pat's not a worker. He's coming in, getting his big match, and going behind the desk again. That's Pat. That's what, where he's in here. Austin Theory should win this one.
They've been building Austin Theory for something. And they've been giving Austin Theory a huge rub and letting him work with Vince McMahon. Not everybody gets to work with Vince. Okay? Especially on the level that Austin has gotten to work with him. And all jokes aside, feud aside, because in the beginning it was a little shaky. And then Vince did the interview and they set up the match. And it's like, okay, alright, now we see where this is headed. It makes sense to give Austin the win here. It'll give him a nice rub. People will be talking about him. It'll help further make him and embed him into the company, which is what the ultimate goal is this. Pat McAfee's there to give the rub. Vince McMahon has been there to give the rub because somebody, presumably Vince, really likes Austin Theory and really wants to do something for him. The opposite argument is Pat wanted to work WrestleMania and they had to build somebody up for him to beat up, and so they grabbed Austin Theory. Which hopefully is not the case. As much as I love Pat McAfee, as much as I want Pat McAfee to win, I don't think he's winning here. I think it's going to be Austin.
Yeah.
And we could even see some intervention from Vince here. I don't know, though. Or Vince could screw Austin over and be like, hey, you know, you remember that pencil that I told you about that had the magic eraser? Guess what? I just erased your name off my card.
Yeah.
Or off my books, or whatever you want to call it. Like, you could have Vince do that too, and we kind of have the rise of Mr. McMahon Part 2.
Part 8.
Part 20, part whatever.
Whatever it is. Anyway, Magic 8-Ball does Pat McAfee win at WrestleMania. Very doubtful. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
On our sheet, that's Austin Theory.
There you go. Up next, you have the Raw Tag Team Championships on the line as RK-Bro defends against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. This has been a hot little number as the title's been traded back and forth between RK-Bro and Alpha Academy. They've had spelling contests, they've had scooter races, they've had all kinds of things. But it is leading to this point. It's a three-way, which indicates that more than likely RK-Bro are losing. So the question is who takes it? The Street Profits or Alpha Academy?
Randy Orton's been... This has been the best Randy Orton's felt in a long time. You can see he's very passionate about it. Like, mm-hmm. he got his passion back with Edge and with Bray. And now he's found his babyface passion again with Riddle. They've sort of, like, they've gelled on screen, off screen. They're a combination that works together. And it's been great to see. Like, we all thought this was over at SummerSlam, right? It was going to be over at Survivor Series or whatever it's been. Like, it was going to be quick, right? Oh, they're not going to win the titles. They're going to lose them and then break up. And now SummerSlam. And, oh, they're going to win the titles, but they're going to keep it. They're going to drop them and then they'll be done really quick. They dropped them and got them back. They're still a team. They're probably going to continue to be a team for a little bit longer, too. Because there's no reason to break them up. Because it works. It's selling merch. It's doing all those things. Alpha Academy is a really strong group. They really are. The Sheesh and everything, it's great. And then they're the Street Profits, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of in a bad spot. They're the baby faces, but they're being pushed tweeners, I guess. So what do you do with them, you know?
That's a million-dollar question, isn't it? Are you right? Anyway, carrying on for a second. I don't know how I feel about this, because it's like, on one hand, I want to see it go back to Alpha Academy, because they've done a lot with Gable and Otis to build them up into a thing. I think a lot of people, including myself, were skeptical about Alpha Academy in the beginning. Just like you were kind of we weren't really sure about Randy and Riddle. I think Randy and Riddle has gone on far longer than anyone thought it would, including them. I have a funny feeling it's supposed to be like a couple weeks, and
yeah,
that was it. Like, they were supposed to split up, and it's just gotten over so hard, and Randy's having so much fun with it that it's like they've just kept it going, and it's been a really nice, fun little thing for Monday Night Raw and for Randy and Matt and everybody to do. The Street Profits have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit. They were sort of that comedy sort of act that they had, and then other people took that over. And I think there was a lot of speculation that they were going to split the Street Profits up, and that never happened.
No.
So at this point, it's who do you have? And honestly, it's been a minute since the Street Profits have had it.
It has.
And it's a nice pairing to throw it in that, you know, Bianca wins night one, and then you have her come out and celebrate with the Profits on night two. Or you have the pictures of all of them together with the titles. Because when they need them to be, they're sort of a package deal.
Yeah.
But...
Let me throw this out to you. Say the RK-Bro win, right? They retain their belts. The Street Profits the Street Profits give, like, this whole little... They're, like, jealous kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Street Profits turn on RK-Bro at WrestleMania? Leave them laying. Yeah, RK-Bro retains the titles, but they didn't get beat. They didn't beat the Street Profits, and Street Profits lay them out. That sets up the heel turn for the Street Profits, because I kind of feel like that's where we're headed with them. I feel like we're going to go see a new side of them, a more serious side of Street Profits. And what better way than to turn heel on WrestleMania and kind of get a new rub going, a new thing going? I can see that happening on the show. I can see the Street Profits turning heel even in defeat. I can also see them winning the belts by cheating, holding the tights, kind of nefarious means, and kind of changing their outlook on things. I feel like RK-Bro versus Street Profits is a big match coming out of the show. Even though we've seen it before, we're going to see it again, probably Backlash. And I kind of see the Street Profits being the heels, because as good of Alpha Academy is, they're not the guys that should be fighting for against RK Pro right now. It should be the Profits. They're your two big money teams that should be fighting for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying RK Bro retain and a Street Profits heel turn is how it all comes together. Because we're seeing a lot of title changes throughout this night, these two nights. This is one where it stays. RK Bro retain. What's your pick?
I kind of want to see it go back to the Street Profits, so I'm going to say the Street Profits.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't have a rhyme or a reason other than I feel like it's time for the Raw Tag Team Championships to move. And it's like RK Bro has had them, but it's like, because I feel like, in a way, the stuff with Gable and Otis has run its course, and that's kind of over and done.
They're a comedy act right now. They're a nice heel team.
So I think you need to give RK-Bro a challenge and have them chase a little bit and kind of add a little friction there, because they're a little too good together. So it's like you have a little bit of that tenseness when they lose the titles. Like, I'm not saying the Street Profits necessarily have to have them long, but just to sort of reestablish them, because I think they kind of lost their steam when Montez got hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, give them back a little bit of their momentum and then kind of have a feud back and forth between them and RK-Bro. So I say Street Profits.
All right, you're going Street Profits. I'm going RK-Bro, Alpha Academy 8-Ball, most likely. Okay. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
That's the Profits, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's next?
So up next, we have Edge taking on AJ Styles. And you know this isn't a one and done, because Edge has done a complete character turn.
Yeah.
Like, they've completely revamped, redone his character. So, this is continuing on. At least this character for Edge is continuing on after WrestleMania. AJ has been turning on phenomenal work with this. We're back to babyface AJ, which we all know he's really good at.
Yeah, he's really good in that role, because he can be a smartass and, yeah, do everything he needs to. I feel like AJ needs this win more than Edge. That said, Edge's new character kind of needs to win as well. I've liked the build. I don't love it. I like it. I like the change. I kind of wish there was more promo work with AJ. You had him deliver one little big promo and then a little small promo on Monday, but like, it wasn't really like it. You were kind of, you want to see more personality from it, more like he was with Taker,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. You kind of wanted to see more out of that, more like history in that manner, but I understand why they did. They were selling the new Edge, and that's where you're going. And if this is a new Edge and this is where you're going to go, he needs to be around for a while and kind of make this character work. He can't just bop in and out with it. I don't know who to go with. I don't. I really don't. It's this one's, out of all the matches on the show, this is where I'm one of the most undecided on. I think I'm going to go AJ just because it's a babyface show. Like, this is a babyface show, and that said, I want to see what kind of badass entrance Edge is going to have, because I kind of feel like he's going to have something cool with the new music and everything. I feel like it's going to...
He's been kind of sort of like dipping into this darker turn a little bit with like doing the Brood stuff and some of the other things that we've been seeing. Like, he's been slowly embracing his dark side, and he's finally here with it, where he's doing, you know, the black suit or the dark suits with the mood lighting, and I think the fog, and basically he's Taker 2.0, or he got the lighting from Taker. And the character's really, really good.
Yeah.
But I feel like Edge can maybe take a loss on this, like somehow AJ just overcomes him. I will say this, they had a prime opportunity to call AJ the Georgia Bulldog, and they didn't do it. Disappointed. But, like, I feel like you give AJ the win here.
Because the loss drives the new character for Edge.
And then Edge has to come back for AJ. And this feud continues on to WrestleMania Backlash. Because this is going to be, I think, one of the ones that potentially main events WrestleMania Backlash.
Because
it's, I think, a quick turn.
It could. So you're going...
I'm going AJ.
I'm going AJ. Magic 8-Ball, does Edge win? Outlook not so good. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
That would be AJ Styles. So, there you go. Alright. Got two more matches left, chat. Hang in there with us. We're almost done.
We're almost done. We promise.
We're getting there, but we gotta get two more matches out of the way. Two.
And this one will be a quick one. Bobby Lashley versus Omos.
They've done so much with Omos.
They have.
They've built up this streak of him beating ass on everybody that's come in front of him. One-on-one, two-on-one, doesn't matter. he's been as dominant can be. And then you now have Lashley, the babyface Lashley, apparently, coming for him. I thought almost with the babyface, but it feels like almost as the heel now. I don't know. Whatever it may be. Doesn't matter. I don't know how good this one is going to be, because you just don't know. Omos is good working with the smaller guy. This is the biggest guy in terms of size that he's ever fought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn, because okay. So I know WWE. I know this for a fact. I know how they look. They book things. This is a Bobby Lashley squash on Omos. This is a 1 minute beatdown, quick win. Surprise the hell out of everyone, and Lashley goes over. That, I can see that. I don't know why I can see that. That should be the opposite of the booking.
I feel like Omos should win.
That's 100% the opposite of the booking. But that, I can see that. You can see it, right? You can see their booking on it. It's what they've done for years.
It's exactly what they've done there for years. They built somebody up, and then you have somebody like Bobby Lashley roll up and be like, "Hey, yo, I'm gonna take all your like momentum now. Thanks, bye." The thing with Bobby Lashley, though, is they've tried with him, and I don't want to discount what they've done with him. I think they've done a good job reestablishing him, but they have something with Omos. They have something that isn't there with Bobby. Omos has a lot going for him. I don't know how far he'll go, but he has it. He has that X factor to him. I kind of want Bobby to walk out there all cocksure and Omos just destroys him.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of honestly what I want to see, is I just want to see Omos just absolutely tear through everybody, and it's the question of, good God, who can beat Omos?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, he destroys Bobby Lashley, and you build Omos to the point that he gets to someone like Brock, and then what happens? Right? Like, that's sort of what I want with him.
Yeah, but I don't know how good Omos is, though. That's the thing.
That nobody does. That's the whole point. It's like, nobody's aware of how good he is.
We don't know how good he is, what his potential is. This is the big test for him if they give him actual time. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Omos. I want him to win.
I'm going to go with Omos as well. 8-ball? Omos? No.
Oh, you
wheel.
Bitch.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
That's Omos.
Okay. All right, last. Certainly not least, what is likely to be your main event of Night 2 of WrestleMania. You have the unification match between the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar taking on Roman Reigns. The Conqueror versus the Streak. In which Roman has been champion for almost 2 years and has not been pinned in that time.
The weirdest men have been beating him. Like Eric Rowan, Corbin. Corbin's the last one that pinned him in either a singles or a tag. And that was it. He's not like, the last person to get a win over him was Woods. But it wasn't clean. It was by DQ. That's it. Roman's been on a roll. Roman's been dominant. He has been everything they've ever wanted out of him in this last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
He has become the head of the table, the tribal chief. He's done everything you can imagine. You listen to him on the talk show, on Tonight Show last night, and you know, you see why he's the guy. You see why he's the new face of WWE. He's done everything in his ass. And now he's got to go against a guy he's never beaten at WrestleMania. He got the win in Saudi a few months ago. But that had shenanigans involved. This one is like, this is to finally kill the demons of Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. The problem is, Brock Lesnar loses a lot at WrestleMania. Because he's always been the guy you have to conquer. He went from the conqueror to the one being conquered. Because Seth is beating him, Drew's beating him. He loses the big matches, except to Roman. He is also the one who put the one in 21-1. Was Brock Lesnar. He ends streaks. That's the thing. Roman has a big streak. Brock can conquer it at WrestleMania. The one thing me and Lindsay can tell you about this match that we can guarantee, Paul Heyman is getting his ass whooped by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he's taking an F5. I'm sorry. That's just going to happen. Paul Heyman's going to get his comeuppance one way or another. He's going to pay for what he's done to Brock.
Like
he's going to betray Roman and get beat up. Like,
if anything comes out of it, that's what should happen. If Roman is Paul's staying with Roman, he needs to get his ass whooped. Because that's pro wrestling 101 right there.
Yep. Now, here's the thing. Roman has fully grown into his role. He has fully settled into his role. He's finally comfortable. You can tell he's where he needs to be with it. But he has been champion for almost 500 days, I think.
It's close to six.
It's close to six.
I'm going to look it up as you talk. Keep going.
There's nobody really left in that company for Roman to face as champion.
No, they've released them all.
So you're now looking at the option of building new stars, and are you going to feed them to Roman? Or are you going to rest Roman? Because I have to wonder if Roman doesn't maybe need a little bit of a rest, even though he's totally fine, but it's a lot of pressure to be champion for that long. On the flip side, you have Brock.
576, by the way.
576 days. That is a long time to be WWE champion. Universal champion. He's universal, I'm sorry. That is a long, long time to be champion. Then you look at Brock, who has seemingly reinvented himself, is having the time of his life.
Oh god, Top Knot Brock is the best Brock Lesnar we have ever seen.
Like, he's over like gangbusters. He's untouchable at this point.
You know what they've done? What he's done for himself?
Made himself fun.
He's made himself the most likable man in WWE.
He's their number one babyface. Like, it's insane.
You see him, like, there was this moment, like, weeks ago where he interacted with a kid and gave him the high five. Made him shake his hand or whatever it was, and then made the kid stay. It was great.
It's fantastic.
He tips his tip of the cap. I'm Brock Lesnar. Hey. When he needs to be serious, he'd be serious. But he's made himself so damn likable. And you couldn't say that a year ago.
You couldn't, because all we ever saw was Gerard, Brock Lesnar, Brock Smash, and now it's Brock just having fun. It's Brock being Brock. It's perfect. And to have him go against somebody like Roman Reigns, who's playing that heel, it's a fantastic setup. Because there's so much doubt in this match, because it's like Brock's over like gangbusters. Brock's there to work. And in terms of somebody going back and forth between both shows, you could have that be Brock for a little while. It doesn't have to be long because it's a unification. It's not they're reducing one title down. No, Brock is going to be Brock two belts, or Roman is going to be Roman two belts, similar to what Becky did. And then he can lose one or he can lose both. And the titles can either move shows, or one can stay on one and one can stay on the other. It's fine. If I'm WWE and I've got a long-standing champion and I'm going to be not necessarily worried about my ratings, but, you know, again, this is where the TV deals come into effect. Brock being both champion on both shows doesn't really hurt anything. Giving Roman a rest doesn't hurt anything. Paul Heyman getting F5 might hurt Paul, but he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He's fine.
Ultimately, it doesn't hurt anything. So you could give this a rest, because this is, again, the culmination of the story, right? The battle for Paul Heyman's love. Brock and Roman going back and forth. Brock chasing Roman. That's what this has been. Brock has been chasing Roman. He wants to fight Roman. He entered the goddamn Royal Rumble after losing to get a second shot at Roman Reigns. One that Paul Heyman himself could not stop. Like, Brock has figured out a way around Paul Heyman, because he knows Paul better than anybody. And he knows how to play Paul better than anybody. There's a lot of moving parts in this. And as I said, this is my theory where the bloodline either starts to get their comeuppance or they get their comeuppance here. And I feel like, to a certain extent, Roman's going to get some of his comeuppance, because this will be an exceptionally difficult challenge. That being said, I don't think Roman Reigns standing tall at the end of the night on night two of WrestleMania, because this will be your main event.
It is.
Will send the crowd home happy. I don't know. It may.
Okay, so from a WWE historical standpoint, right, this is the biggest match they could ever build at a WrestleMania, because it's their two top titles on the line, head to head. They've never done it. Will only be done. This is the one time they can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two of the biggest stars who have had WrestleMania feuds for years. It's like, it's Austin Rock, but in our new generation, it's Roman and Brock. This is it. Rock never beat Austin until the end, 19 years ago. And now Austin's coming back. But 19 years. It's been 19 years since that feud ended. You have Brock, who's beaten him twice. Roman would need to win the third. in the WrestleMania feud. But the thing is, if you're looking from a WWE historical standpoint, I don't know if they want to see Roman standing tall with two belts or Brock standing tall with two belts. Because if you built this whole head of the table thing and he's not standing tall at WrestleMania holding two belts, would it have been considered a failure or just a bump in the road for the head of the table? And who knows, there may only be one championship coming out of this. I don't know. No one actually knows. It's a lot of speculation. But the point being, that iconic moment that they show for years going forward, who's holding the belts up? Is it Roman or is it Brock? From a story standpoint, from a megastar standpoint, it should be the Beast, Brock Lesnar. But from a WWE thing, it's like Roman should be the guy holding two belts, but sending the crowd home happy. And last year to end WrestleMania, night two, Roman Reigns stood tall. I don't think he stands tall on this one. I think Brock gets this belt. He ends the streak. He gives Roman some time off to figure out what's next for him. But Drew shouldn't be the guy, though. Drew shouldn't be the one who dethrones him. Because Drew's been made already.
Drew, if you were going to do Drew, you would have done Drew last year. I hate saying that, but Drew was a lot hotter in summer last year, spring last year, than he is now. They would have to do a lot of rebuilding work for it to be Drew. That's part of the problem. I mean, it's not impossible, but you're looking at potentially Roman having the title for 2 years before you could get Drew there. And while that's not bad, you have to look at the storytelling. Because I feel like with Roman, specifically with Roman losing the title and being what he would consider humiliated at WrestleMania by losing to Brock Lesnar, and not only Brock, but top-notch Brock, Cowboy Brock. Right? The dude that's running around in a cowboy hat making jokes. He wouldn't stand for it. And I feel like it would light a fire back in Roman that is kind of fizzling a little bit because he's hit that stage where he's comfortable, right? Where he's sort of laying back on his laurels a little bit because he's not being challenged. This is a challenge for him because I think Taker said it best in an interview. It's like Brock's having a lot of fun. Brock's enjoying himself. But when the bell rings, Brock is still Brock.
Yeah.
And Brock is going to beat the high holy hell out of Roman Reigns to take his title from him.
Yeah.
And is Roman prepared for that fight? I don't know. I think they need to do it just purely to reset the division, to reset the show, to give people really new challengers for that title, because Roman has beaten everybody. And if Roman beats Brock, at least from a SmackDown perspective, who does he face? Raw,
you have people.
You have people, but from a SmackDown perspective, you don't.
Let me add this one thing. If you keep Roman on top and you want Drew to be the guy, right? If that's the idea. And you want to have him build him up for 6 months and drop it, or April, May, June, because it's beginning of July, 3 months at SummerSlam. I don't think Drew's, it's not there. Drew's good, but Drew's been made. Also now you have 3 more months of predictable main event matches with Roman on top winning. I think everyone talks about how predictable WWE is, right? And Roman winning's been very predictable for 576 days. That has to come to an end. He has to lose a match. Especially now. Would I be shocked if Roman Reigns stood tall at the end of WrestleMania as the unified WWE and Universal Champion? No. But you strike while the iron is hot. Brock is the hottest thing they have right now. Period. You have Kevin and Seth waiting the wings as top heels. They can challenge a Beast. It kind of would be fun. But Brock is just you just gotta, you say Brock's matches are predictable. He's lost already since he's come back. He's lost a lot. He's lost at the Rumble. He lost to Roman already. Brock needs a big win, all things considered. Like I mentioned in the beginning of this portion, Brock's been losing a lot at Mania. Brock needs a Mania win. He does. For as dominant he's been, he needs one. Because what, he's lost to Hunter, right? He lost to Hunter, right, at WrestleMania?
I think so, yeah.
He's lost to Seth, he's lost to Drew, he's lost big Mania matches. And Roman needs a break. Will he have a long break? No, but a character break. He needs a little bit. It needs a reset. It needs something different. And it's WrestleMania. This is the finale of it all. I'm going Brock Lesnar walks out as your unified WWE and Universal Champion. That's my pick.
I have to go Brock. I'm sorry. I see it just in my mind's eye. If Roman wins, it's not a bad thing at all. I'm not saying, and this is again another case of Brock does not have to have the title long, right? Like Brock doesn't need to have the title till SummerSlam. He could easily lose it back at WrestleMania Backlash. It's just long enough to sort of reset things, refresh things, allow Roman a chance to sort of be like, what the hell just happened? How did that happen? Right? Like, that's really what I want to see out of the Roman character is he gets so shook he doesn't know what to do. And he's looking at Paul, right? And Paul's like, I don't even know what just happened. And that maybe that's how Paul gets his comeuppance, is Paul gets beat up by Roman in his fury. Because we've all heard it, Roman Reigns is a volcano, Roman Reigns is unpredictable, Roman Reigns is this, Roman Reigns is that. And we see a little bit of him becoming unhinged, slightly by the loss, right? Because it's now, what do? I don't have the power anymore. He's still the head of the table in terms of the bloodline, but he does not have the title. He does not, in his mind, have the power that the title represents. Somebody else has taken that from him, so now he has to go get it back. And he could win it back from Brock, or he could lose again. And he's got to go to the back of the line. And then maybe you could do something like Drew versus Brock at SummerSlam, where you have Drew take the title off of Brock at SummerSlam, or somebody else.
So I'll make this one statement of, okay, so let's keep the head of the table going. What if you want to keep him going for one more year?
Oh God, no, please no.
Because you put him in that position, right? One more year as champion. One more year to be the greatest of all time. And then he goes one on one with the great one for the championship. And then you have The Rock beat him for the championship. How mad will you all be if that happened? Settle with Brock beating him. Could none of y'all want to see Dwayne win the title, right? None of y'all want to see that, right? We don't want to see that again. That drove people bananas the last time. Imagine what happens if he was the one who ended the streak.
Oh, God. No, Taker said he had one more match in him.
I mean, Taker has a match in him.
He can make up for the failure that was him and Roman before, and Taker gets his win back. And he beats Roman for the title. And then he just unceremoniously drops it and re-retires.
Yeah.
He could do that.
He could. He definitely could.
But no, I'm going Brock.
Magic 8-Ball, does Brock Lesnar win? You may rely on it. What was your point?
No, I was just going to say, what does the 8-Ball think?
Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
On our sheet, that. Roman.
My goodness, it's split. But that does it for our WrestleMania preview. Everybody tune in because Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're going to be reviewing night one of WrestleMania. I'm not going to talk about what Brent and LeMann just posted in the chat. We're done. So everybody, tune in. Night one of WrestleMania. We will be reviewing it whenever it ends on Saturday night. So tune in to this channel or WildTalkRadio.com or RackRadioShow.com for that. But you've got other stuff to plug, so plug away.
I just got to Dallas. This place makes me feel so alive. It makes me feel alive. This week in particular has always been a huge part of me. God damn, I miss this injury. And miss this energy. I miss all of you too. I'm sure some of you have questions for me. I got answers. Here it is. I'll reply to 6 questions in the next hour. Keep in mind, I hate ruining surprises. # Wyndham 6. As Lindsay mentioned, Saturday night we'll be live around probably midnight-ish. Go a half hour either way for the Rack Extra Reviews WrestleMania Day 1. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, around 11:30 midnight-ish, with the return of a WTR legend, historical name they talked about on Sunday. Tune in, they'll review the entire show. Monday, it's the Raw after WrestleMania. We'll be live with the Raw post show, Raw After Mania, 11 p.m. Eastern. Day 2 review, live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. We'll break everything down from day 2 on that show. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, you name it, just search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RockinSock or LinZemWord in the Fortnite app shop. Why?
We are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinZemWord, LNSWRD. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LinZemWord. Please do. I would appreciate it because a brand new update in Genshin dropped.
What?
2.6 is here.
No way.
And we have so much to do. Oh my gosh. So we've been exploring the chasm. We're going to continue to explore the chasm and do the Archon quest and everything like that on Saturday, hopefully. So tune in because I'm not streaming tomorrow. But I will try to over the weekend so we can keep doing things in Genshin because it's fun! And while you're checking out things, please check out our sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. Happy WrestleMania, everybody. We will see you Saturday. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.